Episode 21, The Golden Age Budget Conscious Adventures of Dr. Keene and the Phenomenal 50 in The Wizard of Gallows Hill is dedicated to the memory of Shelby Peck, an author and teacher whose story is the basis for this episode.
The Golden Age Budget Conscious Adventures of Dr. David Keene and the Phenomenal 50 returns to your airwaves. Brought to you by our new sponsor, Bargain Basement Hattery for Men. Yes, we're bringing back hats. Not just baseball caps or knit ones when it snows. We say hats are for everyday use, and we're doing it on a budget. Budget Basement Hattery for Men. Cover your bald spot like they used to, but this time on a budget. And now to the show. Dr. Keene and the Phenomenal 50 in... The Wizard of Gallows Hill. We invite you now inside the penthouse apartment on the 87th floor, somewhere in New York City, in a building that's very, very tall. Well, very tall is probably an understatement, and pointy, where Dr. David Keene and four members of the Phenomenal 50, Michelle Smalls, Long John, Silent Lester, and Knuckles, are spending the day enriching their minds with rigorous mental exercises, when suddenly, the phone rings. After a few moments, David Keene hangs up the receiver with urgency.
That was President Roosevelt.
Theodore?
No, Knuckles. The current president, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who just took office in March 1933.
What'd the guy say?
I'll tell you, Smalls. He said, "I have a new phone. To whom am I speaking?" Something to that effect.
He's a formal guy, that prez, right, boss?
Right, Smalls. Anyway, after I answered him, he said he had every intention to talk to me anyway. He needs me to check out a series of incidents that appear to be plaguing a secret government project centered in and around Salem, Massachusetts.
Salem, Massachusetts is known for the witch trials of 1692, a gruesome moment in our country's past, Dr. Keene.
Right, Long John. What bearing that has on our current assignment is unknown at this time, but I'm glad we'll have your font of knowledge with us.
Just 'cause String Bean's got a law degree don't mean he's not just full of beans, Doc.
Oh, how fitting to find a person named Smalls to have such an appropriately sized mind. I'm calling you Small-Minded Smalls. I figure I'd spell it out for you.
Why, I oughta.
So the president asked for our team, the Phenomenal 50?
He asked for me, Knuckles. Dr. David Keene, philanthropist, adventurer, scientist, detective, crime fighter, and well, I asked him not to go on, but he did for several more attributive nouns. He's the president of these United States. He has that right.
But he probably knows the team's coming too, right, boss?
Sure. But we can't take all Phenomenal 50 members on this mission, even if this could be our most dangerous caper yet.
We're ready for it, Doc Keene.
Glad to hear it, Smalls.
I have no pressing legal engagements. I will accompany you.
Perfect, Long John.
And I'm ready for a scrap. Count Knuckles in.
Actually, for this venture, we'll bring Long John, Smalls, Silent Lester, and we'll meet Bailiwick in Salem.
What about me, boss? You need me to follow in the seaplane?
But we're taking the seaplane, Knuckles.
Want me to follow in the submersible?
With rumors of tensions in Europe affecting us at home, that might not be a great idea. Look, Knuckles, I need you back here in the penthouse.
To water the plants?
Plants give us oxygen. We need oxygen to live. Never forget that.
Gee, thanks, Dr. David.
Okay, Phenomenals, let's go. But before we do, we should remember our motto, the code by which we live. May we always endeavor to, at all times, and in every way, without fear or favor, and in full light of day, or in the darkest of night, whether we have or haven't, in the fullness of cherished creation, and with true American pride, for which we seek no payment, and in good faith always do our thing.
That always gives me chills, boss.
And what say you, Silent Lester? I feel the same way. To the seaplane, almost everyone.
See ya, Knuckles. Maybe next time.
Dr. David Keene and the Phenomenals left the penthouse library and walked down a private corridor. Stepping in front of what appeared to be part of a wall, Dr. Keene placed his hand on a certain spot, and, as if by magic, a concealed panel opened, revealing an elevator. After entering the car, they were whisked down to a sub-basement garage. There, Dr. Keene kept a highly advanced automobile that had all the trimmings, including a mobile radio that was programmed to WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Driving through Manhattan at breakneck speed, Dr. Keene and the Phenomenals in the Keenemobile thrilled other motorists and passers-by who witnessed such an extraordinary sight. Of course, as the advanced Keenemobile was an electric vehicle, it had no sound, but believe me, it traveled very fast. It's quite impressive. Past large buildings in New York City and everything. Anyway, the team arrived at a private estate where their air and sea vehicles were stored.
While Long John's getting the equipment in the seaplane, do you think you could check out the weather predictions?
Silent Lester or me?
How about you this time, Smalls? Silent Lester can help prepare the mission by doing the pre-flight boarding checklist.
Fair enough. And don't let Stringbean fall into the drink. Most of the time he's all wet as it is.
I heard that, Smalls. I'm paying you little mind.
While the Phenomenals were distracted by their own oh-so-clever banter, a mysterious and sinister figure dropped from the belly of the amphibious plane onto the concrete floor of the warehouse. But he wore sound-dampening, water-resistant fabric and barely made a sound as he rolled to the ocean, unobserved. And since the figure was trying to be silent, it made very little noise as it swam underwater through the open warehouse doors. It was 5 o'clock when the plane taxied out into the water, then into the fog. Lifting off, it headed northeast toward New London.
So what's the weather supposed to be like, Smalls?
They say it's going to be really bad weather, foggy, lots of rain and wind.
Just like we're seeing out the window here?
Exactly like that, boss.
Thanks, Smalls. To be forewarned is forearmed.
What's the plan, Dr. Keene?
We're flying to New London, Connecticut, to meet President Roosevelt's personal attaché, who has more information to share about our mission in Salem.
About the mission they were telling you about over the phone?
That's right, Smalls.
I wonder if they could have shared the information in some other way besides having us fly to New London.
Secrecy. I'm sure the information they have is for eyes only.
Looks like we're in for a spot of bad weather, Doc.
Thanks, Long John. Glad we're all in agreement about that fact.
Bang!
What the heck was that?
If I'm not mistaken, a violent explosion has wreaked havoc on our instruments. Can we get the plane down, Dr. Keene?
Gravity will make sure we do, Long John. The only question is whether we can control the craft when it does. Parachutes, everyone!
Again?
That's enough out of you, Silent Lester. Looks like we're going down.
Sorry I was mean to you, Smalls. You've always been my friend!
And sorry, you're such a string bean!
The Golden Age budget-conscious adventures of Dr. Keene and the Phenomenal 50 will be back in a moment, but first... Men, have you ever stepped out in the rain without an umbrella and wish you had a long-brimmed hat for your head? Do you own an ornately decorated hat rack but have nothing to hang on it? Then why not give hats another chance? And on a budget! Bargain Basement Hattery for Men is just the place for all your head-covering needs. If by head-covering you mean hats like fedoras and fezzes... We're just working on hats at the moment. We're on a budget, and our advertising budget is pretty small, so we're doing the best we can with what we have. So give hats another chance, please. And now, back to the action on Dr. Keene and the Phenomenal 50. Far from the burning seaplane, a strange meeting was taking place. The room was dark. Only a small lamp, which rested on a large mahogany desk, gave any illumination. Behind the desk, cloaked in a monk-like cowl, sat a strange and sinister figure, his face covered by a blood-red mask.
Prince Asmodeus, how went your mission?
It was done as you so commanded, Master.
On the sound-dampening, water-resistant jumpsuit, fit okay?
It came in very handy. I didn't make a sound. I almost wish it made some sound so I could help you understand what it was like.
I can imagine it. Just the narration about it is fine, just as good as hearing it occur, in fact.
Thank you, Master. My mission was a success.
Good. Now we shall see how keen this doctor and his men are at facing a foe like the Wizard.
Who's that, Master?
That's me, Prince Asmodeus. I thought we covered that during orientation.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry.
So have your demons watch for any signs of Dr. Keen's plane and communicate its arrival to me.
Yes, Wizard.
That's Wizard.
Yes, Wizard.
Not Wizard, Wizard.
I don't get. Okay. Yes, Wizard.
You can still call me Master, but when referring me to other people, you call me Wizard.
Yes, Master Wizard.
Close enough.
After successfully landing the plane in the water during the harrowing descent from 10,000 feet, an event which we would have heard as the plane's engines lost power, while the crescendo of dramatic and cinematic music signified the struggle of the phenomenals grappling with the gears and levers in the cockpit in a race with technology, time, and the elements to regain just enough control of the seaplane to prevent a crash. Except we had to cut away to learn about the Wizard and Prince Asmodeus, which, as it just so happened, was a situation with just two people talking in the room, so it didn't require sound effects. Dr. Keen and the Phenomenals assessed their situation.
Remember, team, the landing gear lever is the one that's on the left. It could save our lives one day.
I think it already has, Doctor.
So where are we?
We're off course.
Of course.
No, off course.
Indeed.
It appears we're in the northern end of Long Island Sound. If we wait till the fog lifts tonight, we can check the stars and triangulate our approximate location.
Or we could just ask someone, like those fellows over there by the lighthouse who are coming this way.
Eight hooded masked figures menacingly approached, carrying Tommy guns. But only one of them spoke. So even though you only hear one of the hooded figures talking, you can still know that there are eight. Eight tall, burly-looking, even though they're hooded figures, that approach our heroes. And when one figure speaks, we realize it's Prince Asmodeus.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, Dr. Keen. We've been expecting you.
Beware my fists of fury! Let's get them!
Suddenly, from behind the bushes, Knuckles Lawton, the phenomenal who was left behind to water the plants, jumped out to fight the eight hooded figures with Tommy guns. All by himself, apparently, because nobody else moved. And with a quick knock to the head, Knuckles was knocked to the ground.
What is wrong with this guy? You see, we have Tommy guns, right?
Knuckles is always ready for a scrap, boys.
Tommy guns. I said Tommy guns. I don't think Knuckles has a chance at eight sinister figures with... Never mind.
You said you were expecting us? Care to elaborate?
You noticed your plane was disabled.
We had a little trouble. Nothing we couldn't manage.
It was I who disabled your plane.
And you knew the plane would come down right here instead of exploding in the sky?
I just put enough explosive material in just the right location to make sure it was disabled, but didn't totally destroy the plane. It's all very technical, and you need to know what you're doing.
May I ask who you are?
So gentlemanly and polite. For a crime fighter, you're not so savage. I am Prince Asmodeus. These are my demons. These seven other hooded, masked, sinister figures who are standing right here next to me with Tommy guns pointed at you who don't talk. All seven of them. That's seven hooded, masked demons. They only report to me. And I report to Zavizard.
Zavizard. Now we're getting somewhere.
Oh, have you heard of him? I just learned that specific name only a few hours ago.
We're learning about him now, and he sounds like small potatoes to me.
Yeah, that seems appropriate coming from you, Smalls.
Why, Yoda?
That's enough. No one else gets to banter except for me and Dr. Keene. Now, Zavizard doesn't want your presence in Salem. In fact, he doesn't want your presence in this world at all. Tie them up and bring them to the lighthouse.
Dr. Keene, Smalls, Long John, Silent Lester, and Knuckles were tied up and left in a small room under the lighthouse.
Zavizard does not want your presence in Salem.
You said that already.
Very well, Dr. Keene. I don't mean to be shallow, but let's see if you can fathom what happens next.
Something to do with water, Dr. Keene.
Thank you, Knuckles. What's that?
Water's coming in, boss, and it's rising fast!
They mean to drown us!
What's this? A cliffhanger? Hold on to your hats. We're just getting started in the return of the Golden Age Adventures of Dr. David Keene and the Phenomenal 50. We return to the Golden Age budget-conscious adventures of Dr. Keene and the Phenomenal 50 in... The Wizard of Gallows Hill. Since Prince Asmodeus ordered his demons to tie and throw Dr. Keene and five of the Phenomenal 50 in a small room under a lighthouse on an island in the northeast section of Long Island, Dr. Keene had been busy. Bringing the heel of his shoe down hard against the floor, he released a blade hidden in the sole, and pushing himself into position, he cut the ropes that were tied against Michelle Small's wrists, then undid his own as Smalls untied Long John and Knuckles and Silent Lester. It was all extremely exciting and fast-paced as water was rushing in, creating this enormous cacophony of sound. But then there was still a metal door to the room in the lighthouse, and they were trapped. But not for long, because Dr. Keene took four buttons off his shirt, ground them into gunpowder while keeping the gunpowder dry, then took off his other shoe and removed from a secret watertight compartment in that sole a red, gummy-like substance. Then, tearing a handkerchief and placing it on the belt buckle he held in his left hand, he struck the buckle with his ring, and immediately the material burst into flames. Now, as most of you can appreciate, the materials that were combined made thermite, which produces high heat and light. This combination of powder and iron oxide is used in welding. Anyway, it created these large explosions at the hinges that blew down the door, and they were free from the makeshift prison. We pick up the story just outside the lighthouse.
Hey, Dr. Keene, it's all clear. Them demons and their leader took a powder.
Just like that metal door. It took a powder. Gunpowder, that is.
Anyway, be careful. Prince Asmodeus and his hoodlums may still be about. Of course, they might have taken a submarine to escape.
We could have used a submersible, eh, Dr. Keene?
No, we wouldn't want the submersible getting into the wrong hands while you were out of it, jumping into a scrap with eight Tommy gun-holding hoodlums.
I just knew you wanted me on cavalry duty and not on plant duty.
Now, is the cavalry supposed to be captured? I'm a little unclear on the subject. Please enlighten me.
We wouldn't have gotten captured if we fought. Why didn't you fight? We could have taken them. 5 against 8, maybe. But we're part of the Phenomenal 50.
You mean a fight with 8 guys with Tommy guns? And us with our fists and chum?
I know you're good for a scrap, Knuckles. But we needed to learn more about our attackers. They knew enough about us to know how to sabotage our seaplane and set a trap for us. So I let them talk to us, learned who they were, and we naturally escaped afterwards.
Say, Smalls, a word, if you please.
What you want, Long John? I mean, String Bean.
When our plane was going down, I apologized for my rude behavior, and you didn't.
I accept your apology.
But no, I mean you didn't. Did you not expect us to crash?
Nah, I've been with Dr. Keene a long time. We always make it okay.
But what if we didn't?
Well, I can only be wrong once, and at that point, wouldn't matter.
Seems we need to get to New London and meet the president's attaché, and we need our seaplane towed back to the dock and repaired.
Engineer Jean's in Kent, Connecticut on another assignment. Should we bring her down?
No, she's vital to that other assignment. Knuckles, you know your way around a wrench or two, don't you?
Sure, boss, but I...
Phenomenal. Thanks, Knuckles. I assume you landed the autogyro in the shrubs over there?
It's here, boss. We only got room for 4 passengers.
I can squeeze in.
Thanks for the offer, Knuckles. But you're needed here.
And you might need the cavalry again?
Sure. Before we fly to New London, let's remember our code, our motto. Everyone, say it with me. May we always endeavor to, at all times, and in every way, without fear or favor, and in full light of day or in the darkest of night, whether we have or haven't in the fullness of cherished creation, and with true American pride for the signal payment in good faith always, do our thing.
Do our thing!
So then, Dr. Keene and 4 of the Phenomenal 50 flew to New London to meet President Roosevelt's attaché. But the attaché had already left for Salem with his aide, so the Phenomenals flew the autogyro all the way to Salem, where they arrived at a hotel on Derby Street. Keene and his team had booked a room on the 3rd floor. It was one room, as they were on a budget. There in the lobby, they met a friend who was with 2 strangers.
Bailiwick, my good friend. No, don't speak. Not because we didn't cast an actor for your part, but only because I wish to say the dialogue, that the 2 people with you must be the members of Roosevelt's government. Do I have the pleasure of meeting Mr. Sewell, the president's attaché and his aide?
How do you do, Dr. Keene?
Mr. Sewell, it's a pleasure.
And I'm Sam Lord. It's such a pleasure to meet you in this way, here at a hotel. I'm a big fan, of course.
You're too kind, Mr. Lord.
Shall we go to the small conference room? It's extremely quiet. No ambient noise at all.
Good thinking, Sam.
Everyone, take your seats.
These cushions make sure the seats are silent, too.
Now, you're here to investigate the situation surrounding Gallows Hill.
Gallows Hill?
Yes, that's what I said. Gallows Hill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't have a line in a while.
The photograph you see here is Dr. Nathan Hawthorne, the former chief resident physician at the psychiatric ward. Hawthorne was in charge of the Gallows Project.
What's that noise, Dr. Keene?
Good question, Smalls.
Is this conference center in this publicly available hotel secure, Mr. Sewell?
Of course, Sam. My trusted aide made all the arrangements.
It's quite secure. Let me see what it is.
Meow. Why, it's a cat.
Come here, little one. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Meow. Meow.
Looks like you've got a good friend, Smalls.
A small friend for a... never mind.
I must have let the cat in by accident, sir.
That's okay, Sam. It looks like your mistake was appreciated.
You can say that again.
The team sat with rapt attention as they gained minor insight into Gallows Hill. Then they were invited to visit the hospital and meet Dr. Hawthorne, who, although being described as former head and in every instance discussed in the past tense, was very much alive. But first, and even more importantly, Smalls found out from the hotel concierge that there was no known owner to the cat.
Meow.
It was known as a stray, and that Smalls could adopt it if the feline was willing, which she was. Meow. And she never left Smalls' side.
Think I'll call you Samantha, 'cause a Sam let you into my life.
Aw, that's such a lovely sentiment, Smalls.
I'll let you know when I need your opinion.
I suppose that we now have a phenomenal 51, eh, Dr. Keene?
No, we should keep it to 50. We're on a budget.
What if there's an opening? Silent Lester's not looking too happy, am I right?
Is that true, Silent Lester? Are you unhappy? Well, why didn't you say so? Silent as ever. Yes, and now I remember your great fear of water after the water incident in your town, which scarred you for life, and yet it still made you strive to be a better person who could rise from uncertainty and triumph against all odds, and yet the fear of water still haunts you. So was it the trap Prince Asmodeus set for us, from which we narrowly escaped? Is that what's bothering you, chum?
It's so hard to decipher what his shrug means, but it appears to have created an impact.
I agree, Long John. Listen. Silent Lester, you can sit this one out. No, I insist. Maybe we'll have you work phenomenally from a distance.
Just in the nick of time.
Knuckles Lawton!
I towed the seaplane back, then I was able to contact Engineer Jean, who was working on another case. She said she fixed the seaplane proper once she gets back, so I then drove the Keenmobile all the way up here. It was an electric motor, so I didn't stop for gas, and it was very silent.
What a trooper.
Great work, Knuckles. I'm proud of you. In fact, we're all proud of you. And I have the most urgent mission for you.
Say the word, boss. I'm ready for anything.
Can you drive Silent Lester back? He's not feeling too well. I want to make sure he gets to the penthouse in New York safely.
Should he drive himself back?
Make haste, dear friend. For as our motto says...
I know. Do our thing. Come on, Silent Lester. And no, I'm driving.
With the phenomenals relatively sorted out, it was Dr. Keene, Long John, Ballywick, who, although he did not have much to say this time around, is of vital importance to the story, so stay tuned, and Michelle Smalls with Samantha, the cat who traveled to the hospital and after negotiating with multiple functionaries within this private and partly governmental medical facility, they were allowed to enter the premises with their formerly stray cat, and was here when the first shoe finally dropped, for when they went looking for Dr. Hawthorne, he was the attending physician no longer.
My word!
Will ya look at that?
Fascinating. Mr. Sewell, do we have an explanation?
That's why we came to see you, Dr. Keene. Our Dr. Nathan Hawthorne is no longer the physician. He's been committed as a patient.
What's this? Another cliffhanger? You'll have to wait until the end of the month to hear the thrilling conclusion, or at least another segment, depending on what we get done, of the Golden Age Budget-Conscious Adventures of Dr. Keene and the Phenomenal 50 in The Wizard of Gallows Hill.
Yeah! Dun, dun. Till next time.
Nutmeg Junction is created and produced by J. Timothy Quirk. Episode 21 was written by Shelby Peck, Lana Peck, and J. Timothy Quirk. It was based on the idea and story by Shelby Peck. The episode was directed by Jandy Hanna and starred Lana Peck as the narrator, J. Timothy Quirk as Dr. Keene, Kurt Boucher as Knuckles, Rich Sear as Long John, Robert C. Fullerton as the Wizard and Mr. Sewell, Jandy Hanna as Michelle Smalls, Josh Newey as Prince Asmodeus, Sam Lord, and Silent Lester. End credit themes by Robert C. Fullerton, copyright 2018, and used with permission. We hope you enjoyed Nutmeg Junction, and may all your journeys bring you back to a happy home.